We're going to go live to our regular update on the world of tax, taxations and all things. Joining me live on the line from his offices is Alastair Spence Clark. Morning to you, Alastair.
Morning, Giles. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you, my friend. And yourself?
Excellent. Nice sunny day here in the forest behind Galcine.
You're in the from the forest behind Galcine?
Yeah, the national park. That's, we have a little finca here. It's delightful.
Very nice indeed. So what are, quote unquote, you've described them as the latest fun things in the world of tax. So go on, tickle me ribs, Alistair. Make me crack up with mirth on what's happening tax-wise.
Well, you're definitely going to crack up with mirth on the first question because Social Security is going to go up next year.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
I'm glad you enjoyed that. It's not too painful, actually. It's only going to be about €8, €10 if you're a company director.
Right.
So, but we are expecting a reform of the social security system at some point soon. And they're sort of kind of threatening that it's going to come income related.
Right.
So that's been talked about. The government's published a paper on it, but we don't know where it's going because the legislative system at the moment in Spain is chaotic with the minority government and everything. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, everyone knows that it goes up each year. This coming year is going to be another sort of €8 a month.
Right. Okay. So we can look forward to that and just watch the because I mean we have these pronunciations by Pedro Sanchez. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to hire. You know. They're going to change this tax and the other. But it's not just a sweep of the pen and it's done, is it? It's far more complex than that.
Sorry, I lost you there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to say we see all these pronunciations in the Congreso, but it's not just, you know, Pedro Sanchez says it's happening and then it happens.
Yeah, well, sometimes they issue what's called a real decreto, which is a royal decree, where the government issues a law and it does so, you know, without going through Parliament. But there is a very limited amount of law that they can do that way because otherwise it would be unconstitutional. So they can change things just by royal decree, hence all the COVID stuff that we went through.
Yeah.
But major things like changes in the tax system, they have to go through a parliamentary process, which A, takes ages, and B, at the moment, the government doesn't have a sufficient majority to push through things. So anyway, so we are going to see a social security review at some point, and it will go up, and it almost certainly will become income related as opposed to the sort of flat rate system where you choose how much you want to pay.
Now I'm going to use two words with you here, Alistair. Don't take it personally, but plusvalía, which is a word that has made many people's hackles will be rising at this point.
Yeah, it's really a very strange tax. It's actually the second most important tax for the town halls. And finally, it's been declared illegal.
Okay.
This is actually quite good news because potentially people will be able to claim back money. You know, being able to claim back money is always good news. So the problem we've got is that the Constitutional Court, I think it was, issued a press release saying, in a very kind of strange use of the Spanish language, that has been interpreted as meaning that the plusvalía calculation made by the town halls is actually founded on unlawful basis. As a result of which, people who have paid plusvalía during the last 4 years may, and I underline the word may be able to get the money back. You pay this tax when you sell your property. So if you've sold a property, you have to pay the town hall a kind of capital gains tax.
Right.
They assess the increase in value, and it's the way they've assessed the increase in value that has been held to be illegal. It's completely illogical. It doesn't bear any relationship to the reality of how much the property value has increased. Is deeply technical. I won't bore you with it. But suffice to say that finally, it's taken about 10 years, incidentally, Giles. I think the first case started in 2010.
Right.
When a very clever architect in the north of Spain, who's also a mathematician, started a case against his town hall, and he won it. It took him many years to win it, but he won it. And that put the cat amongst the pigeons. As a result of which, we've had various pronunciations from the Supreme Court, and it's finally gone to, I think, the Constitutional Court, which says that the way the calculation is made is unconstitutional. Now, we have to see the text of the of this judgment, because we need that text to know whether we can claim back tax or whether we can't. Although it seems absurd that a tax can be unlawful and still have to pay tax, but you know, the Spanish tax system is renowned for its strangeness.
Yes, indeed. And in your notes, you've used a wonderful word, because it's a tax receiving, as you put it, the coup de grâce.
Yes, yes. Well, it is the coup de grâce, because the amount of the ruling that we know about basically has triggered off the government to say that they have to publish a new law. So that new law is a completely new law. I think it'll definitely have to go through Parliament. And until that law goes through Parliament, I think that town halls should not be able to assess people plus value. You pay that plus value if you inherit a property, and also if you sell a property. And it can be a very large amount, incidentally. You know, we're talking, you know, 20,000 or 30,000 for some properties.
So that's going to really upset the town halls as their income. Now, if I've sold a property in the past 4 years, presumably my ears are now pricking up thinking, well, if this is an illegal tax, I want my money back.
Well, absolutely right. The problem is we don't know exactly how that's going to work until we see the text of the ruling. The press release was a very strange press release, but it was enough to excite everyone. So we'll have to. It's going to come out within the next week or two. I can't imagine it'll be delayed any longer.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing that. But as one hand giveth, the other hand taketh away. There's an unpleasant surprise coming for all quote unquote expats.
Giles.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear me, Alistair? I was getting all lyrical there. Obviously, mucked up the connection. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly now.
Right, one hand giveth, the other hand taketh away, and there's an unpleasant surprise perhaps coming from the tax, from the Spanish tax man.
Yeah, Spanish tax office has ramped up its investigations big time, and they are really working with a data feed from all the different tax offices in the world, certainly all the European countries, including the UK. Have pulled the data on people who live in a particular country. So the tax office knows that you live in the country, and then they look for your tax return. If you can't find your tax return, they get the information, and as mostly we have Brits listening to us, from HMRC. HMRC provides that information. The tax office in Spain sends out an assessment to the individual and says, we understand you live in Spain, this is the information we have on your income, and this is the tax you owe. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm listening to you.
Yeah, sorry. It's a mobile line, so it's not particularly reliable. So basically, they can go back 4 years, and what the tax office has been doing is they've been assessing 2016, which was that's the last year, or the earliest year they can go back to.
Right.
They started doing that in last year, at the end of towards last year, and they sent out letters to people prior to the 30th of June. 30th of June was the deadline for 2016. 30th of June this year was the deadline. So basically, they've been sending out these letters, and sometimes it's because they have misunderstood a pension, which they think is a pension, which isn't a pension. Sometimes it's because a person just simply hasn't filed in Spain. So they've concentrated on 2016 so far, because they obviously need to do that quickly to avoid losing that tax. Now, what they're actually beginning to do now is they're actually beginning to send out 2017 and 2018 assessments.
Okay.
So I think they've got more human resources, and they're beginning to catch up. So anybody out there who is worried that they've been living here and not been declaring, they really need to complain about it, because they're going to be caught.
Yeah. Okay. You're talking about sending stuff out. The authorities sending information. They're not emailing, are they? They're sending to addresses, and that can be a problem as well, Alistair.
Oh, that's a big problem. That's a particularly big problem in Spain, because we have the Spanish post office, and we also have Spanish addresses, which can be incredibly unreliable. We live in a very old urbanization in Marbella, and yet the post office seems to mishandle the post to our place. particularly in the summer when they have temporary staff. So you can get a tax notification sent to you, and it gets lost, or it gets, I don't know, somebody accepts the delivery, and the next thing you know, you're having the money deducted from your bank account, and you didn't even know the process was happening. So what you've got is a situation where these official notices go out, and if you're not careful, they go out, you don't get them, so you can't act, and then the next thing that happens, you've lost all your rights. Now, this happens an awful lot. It's been published in the press. I've read a couple of expat newspapers who have reported exactly the same problem. And, you know, if you have, I think the bottom line is, if you have an address which is unreliable, or a post office that's unreliable, you should give serious thought to appointing the person who does your tax as your fiscal representative.
Yeah.
It's not required by law, okay? But it's... If you appoint somebody to the fiscal representative and they have a normal professional office, then notices go to the right place.
You've got a sporting chance of receiving your mail, basically, Alastair. That's
yeah. You know, I mean, I actually use my office in Marbella a lot for posts and stuff because it's more reliable. Urbanisation addresses are particularly flaky, and of course, you can live in the country. As you know, and you haven't got an address, and
yes.
You can't receive anything. So you need to appoint somebody to be your fiscal representative. Typically, it's the person who deals with your taxes, and it's a very, very good idea. You might get charged a little bit of money, but I can tell you it's worth it.
As you know where I live, Alastair, I mean, I think the last time we had a postman down at the Casita was about 1985, and they never came back. But the track will sort them out. I think it's part of their SAS training for the Spanish Correos, and they've never come down since.
Well, then you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Non-residency
applies to non-residents.
Yes.
So, you know, okay, you're a resident in Spain, you're in business, you're self-employed, whatever. Fine, you need to have a proper address. We should all know that. However, if you're a non-resident and all you do is have a holiday home, you've got the same problem because you can receive notices and... you know, you're not there. What do you do? You know, that's it. You've lost it. So, for all our non-resident clients, we make it mandatory. We don't allow the choice because, you know, at the end of the day, if something goes wrong, people will think it's our fault. So we say, look, if we're going to act for you as a non-resident, we require you to appoint us as the fiscal representative. Then it's safe. Then we can make sure things get done properly.
Yeah.
Anybody out there who has a holiday home who's not a resident of Spain. Somebody's probably doing their rental filing or their so-called deemed rental income filing. Please make sure that you appoint that person as your fiscal representative to prevent things going wrong.
And we're coming up to that time of year again. I don't mean Halloween, although it can be a bit of a nightmare, but it's, you know, we're coming up to, you know, it's about time you should be checking your fiscal status, making sure you've got the returns going about. You can't just send one tax return if you're a business a year. So checking your financial health is always a good idea as well.
At this time of the year, I know most of the listeners have the wonderful situation where they're no longer working, but we do have some business listeners, quite a few actually, and I'm just going to reach out to them because it's very important that they use the last few months of the year to communicate with their tax advisors. It's not a busy time for tax advisors in November, December. So it's a really good time to sit down with your advisor and just go through things and just spend half an hour with them to review the bookkeeping balances and stuff like that to make sure that what has been filed for you and the bookkeeping that's been done for your company, if you're using a company, has been done properly. I can almost guarantee that we have a profession in Spain called gestoría, and then we have asesorías, who are advisors.
Yeah.
Gestorías are fantastic guys for doing administrative kind of tramitaciones, driving licenses, car licenses, things like that. And they also do, perfectly competently, VAT returns or EVA returns and stuff like that. However, they're not particularly good accountants as a profession. Otherwise, they would call themselves asesorías. Now, I can pretty well guarantee that the accounts produced by a gestoría will have major problems. I know this because we obviously acquire clients continuously, and we have to go through these balances and we have to correct them. Sometimes we can do it with no problem. Sometimes it's a major drama, which can cost the client tens of thousands of euros if it's a company. So I'm just saying to people, these are your accounts, these are your tax returns, and you need to sit down, take responsibility for them, because it's too late when it's gone wrong. And just sit down with your advisor, who you're paying for the advice, and just go through everything. Just make sure it's right. If you're not happy, if you don't get the right answers or you don't understand something, then I'm inviting people just to reach out to us, okay? We won't charge anyone for sitting down and just reviewing balances and tax returns. And, you know, sometimes it's in perfect order, and we're delighted when it's in perfect order. We send the person away, you know, smiling. Unfortunately, too many occasions, it's not so good.
Yeah.
Result of that, we have to sort things out. Anyway, that's the message. You've got 2 months. Don't try and do it in January, because the tax advisors are up to their ears in work, the time to do it is now, basically.
Okay, and just finally, because I can hear you obviously tinkling the ivories in the background. That's multitasking, as I wouldn't have imagined you playing the piano at the same time as giving me my tax advice, Alistair, but it's very impressive. Now, targets. They're giving them targets. So, and also I'm going to drop the B word, you know, the Becks. For those who don't know the Beckham scheme.
You heard about this too, yeah. Yes, every year we have a tax office comes up with a plan to investigate different types of businesses. And every year it's, you know, VAT or EVA on small businesses, you know, like restaurants and stuff like that. Every year they have a campaign for that. But they also introduce some odd ones, which are the ones that we get involved with mostly. And one of them is the Beckham scheme. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the Beckham scheme was created in 2004 to Real Madrid,
yep.
And Ronaldinho went to Barcelona, and that was to enable these clubs to employ these incredibly expensive footballers, and to employ them with the lowest possible tax that you could imagine, which was 25% in those days, flat rate.
Yeah.
Anyway, that scheme was then made available to all businesses. So, you know, somebody, you want to bring somebody over from the UK to work for you, you can bring them over, you know, and they, for 5 years, they're treated as non-residents. They pay a flat rate, 25%. So anybody earning over 60,000 a year, for example, salary, was better off on the Beckham scheme. And of course, a lot of people have made use of it, and some people made use of it, how can I put it, illegally.
Or creatively, I think we could say, perhaps, or bit illegally.
They interpreted the rules too generously, put it that way.
Okay.
And the tax office, therefore, you know, is having a good look at some of these cases. And of course, when they catch them, we're talking major amounts of money, because people in the Beckham scheme tend to be high earners. And so anybody in the Beckham scheme out there, please make sure that your paperwork is in good order and there are no problems, okay? Because you're going to be targeted. And the other target, again, mostly for the wealthy, is this business of having a property and a company. You probably heard of that.
Yeah.
Giles.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a perfectly legitimate strategy. And what it does is it avoids inheritance tax and wealth tax if you're a foreigner, because the asset that you own is not a Spanish asset. It's a foreign company share, usually, typically. Now, the problem with that, much as it's lawful and tax efficient and perfectly permissible, is that it comes with a negative. And the negative is, if you're going to live or use your company property, then you're going to have to pay rent to the company. You can't just use it for free, because it's called a benefit in kind. So for many, many years, people did not declare any rent. But the tax office got wise to this. Around about 2006, we started seeing the first inspections, 2008. Because the law said, in 2006, if you're using any kind of company asset, you must pay the company a fair value for that. And so, you know, a lot of people with very large value properties ignored this, or their advisors didn't tell them about it. And so the companies are being assessed for the rental income that they didn't declare. Now, that can be quite a large amount of money. The tax rate is 25%, and there is also dividend tax that goes with that. So that area of inspection, which we've been seeing quite a lot of, is going to be ramped up next year. And they're not going to just deal with foreign companies, they're going to deal with Spanish companies. Typically, they do one or the other, and the foreign companies have really got away with most of it. Next year, we're definitely going to see a much bigger attention to the foreign companies who own property, and the owners use those properties. So people out there who think they may have a problem, the sooner you act, the better, because it will insulate you from problems. Because when you get a tax inspection, the fines can be 150%
wow. of the tax. So watch out for that. Alistair, if people want to find out more information, have an informal chat, and perhaps hopefully leave with a warm feeling after being told that everything is fine.
Yeah, we try to do that. Anyway, you can find us on our phone number in the office is 95282-2943. And of course, you can find us on the internet, spenceclark.com, Chartered Accountants, Marbella, Spain, any of those words will find you in Google, find us in Google, and please contact us. We're always happy to talk through stuff on the phone, video calls, and of course, people who are local, they can come and see us.
And it sounds like, hopefully, it sounds like you're preparing lunch in the background. That sounds like a gazpacho being blended or something, I think, in the background, something extra was going off.
I'm actually working in the kitchen at the moment.
well, we've had the kitchen preparation. We've had a bit of piano playing as well. It's been a holistic and all inclusive as always. I'm going to play you out the little piano music, Alistair, because I think that's probably the thing to do. But Alistair Spence-Clark, thank you so much for your time today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Giles.